This is the Amateur Fanboy Podcast with your hosts, Chase Aguirre and Mike Artaza.
Welcome to the Amateur Fanboy Podcast interview portion. Our guest today, Greg Bergman from ESPN 710 LA, also the host of the Showtime Forum and Blue Review. Greg, how are you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing fantastic, man. Cannot complain other than this whole Lakers debacle, which seems to make matters worse. But, you know, we're hanging in there.
That's the world that we're living in right now. The Lakers world is what makes our world turn at the moment.
Yes, sir. Yes, it does. I think I want to start off. Well, first off, I just saw something that you guys just posted right now about from Joe Vardon about he saw Griffin and Rob Pelinka have a conversation at the combine, at the draft combine. Does that positive? Like, is that something we should be thinking of as a positive towards possibly what could be a deal? Or do you think we shouldn't read too much into it?
I think it's tough to read into it. I mean, you guys they're at the draft combine. Everybody's going to be talking. If Rob Pelinka is not talking to David Griffin, then I think there's a little bit of a problem. So it just really depends on what they're actually saying. And what they're actually saying could be anything. It could be, you know, Rob Pelinka being like, all right, what do you want? And then, you know, David Griffin being like, well, I want everybody. So who knows what they're actually saying and what the actual – but the fact that they're talking – I think that's a positive step towards having a dialogue when it gets to a point where they can actually make a deal. So, but besides that, I mean, because there was that bill, there was that whole story about how Gail Benson wouldn't trade to the Lakers over her dead body, but that was all before before the draft lottery. So now the fact that they're talking, I think, is a positive step.
Yeah, I think, I mean, as far as the conversation goes, I mean, it makes sense. And also, as a Lakers fan, especially with what we've been seeing with this front office and how dysfunctional it's been, it's nice to know that, you know, Rob Pelinka is able to have conversations with the GMs and not, you know, get like, you know, basically thrown the book at.
Right. Well, I think there's a little bit more to that. We don't know whether David Griffin is taking Rob Pelinka seriously, what's actually happening there. I mean, it very well could be David Griffin being like, I don't want anything. I am trying to keep Anthony Davis right now, which, I mean, it would be smart for Griffin to try and keep that. Could you imagine if it's, you know, if it's Drew Holiday, Zion Williamson, and Anthony Davis?
Right.
I think that's a pretty formidable 1-2-3. And they have other players there like Cheick Diallo. And, you know, there's a couple other guys that could actually make a Stanley Johnson. There's a couple guys that could make some difference there. And if Anthony Davis decides he wants to stay, that team could make some noise.
Oh, definitely. It's something you should definitely consider. I wonder if it's, that I'm sure is what you're also thinking is we've gone this far and he's even came out after the draft and said, look, I'm still, my stance hasn't changed. I still want to be traded. So it's kind of curious if you would think that they would even, if he would even consider changing his mind.
Well, they don't have to trade him is the biggest part of all this. He is under contract next year. Now, if you don't trade him and he wants out and he'll play, whether or not, that's never going to be a question. He has to play. I mean, so if he's healthy, Adam Silver will make him. But if the risk that you're taking is that he doesn't like playing with Zion, he doesn't want to stay, and then you lose him for nothing in the 2020 offseason. But you're giving him a year to say, hey, look what I'm playing with here. I'm playing with Zion Williamson. I'm playing with Drew Holiday. I got some other guys to really start making some noise. Maybe they make a trade here and there to build around those guys. Who knows? And maybe he wants to stay. But at the moment, yes, he's saying that he wants out, which is a good thing for the Lakers. It's just a matter of whether David Griffin wants what we have.
Right. And he has been high on Brandon Ingram, but it is, you know, we'll have to wait and see if he's high on Lonzo and Kuz and the rest of those guys.
Right. And you don't know about Brandon Ingram, whether or not his trade value is even as high as it once was. I love Brandon Ingram, and I believe that he's going to be just fine. I know that he has the blood clot, and that's kind of where the issue comes along. But I think the blood clot doesn't seem to be as bad as, you know, Chris Bosh is in his legs where he's having multiple. This seems to just be one incident, and they just don't know too much yet.
Right. So let's go on to the whole pick, the fourth pick. Obviously, if they don't trade it for Anthony Davis or Beal or whoever they are considering possibly, you know, moving at four. What other options, like as far as the fourth pick, like player wise, do you think that they should be targeting, or do you it looks good?
I think the biggest person that they're going after right now is Darius Garland, and I think that's a good choice for them. He's a combo guard. He's somebody that can shoot and get to the rim and create his own shot. He didn't play very much because he was injured, but he looks like he could be that type of guy that could fit really well next to Lonzo Ball. However, I was watching some of his highlights, and look, I'm not a scout. I just go by my own opinions of what I see. From what I saw from Garland's shot is that he kind of starts in the middle of his body, right around his collarbone when he shoots. And that's pretty low for a shooter, because especially in this game as a shorter guy, 6'2", I believe he is. When you're shooting from there, you're going to get blocked a little bit easier. And so I don't know if he can create his own shot and he can step away from guys and, you know, do the whole James Harden type thing with the multiple step backs, then that shot could be used. But however, when you start from that spot, that's kind of putting you at a little bit of a disadvantage. So hopefully that's not something that is an issue. But Darius Garland seems to be like the guy.
Yeah. I would think that Darius Garland is probably the guy that they would go with if they do end up making the pick. Other than Jarrett Culver, I can't see another guy that they would be too high on, at least not at that range, like at the fourth pick.
Right. He needs to be the right guy at the fourth pick. And then, or hope for some reason the Knicks nick and pick somebody else at number three. RJ Barrett drops, you know, but I can't see that happening either.
Yeah.
I honestly don't believe they have the fourth pick when all is said and done. I think that pick's gone in one form or another, whether it's for Anthony Davis, whether it's for Bradley Beal, or for somebody else. I don't think that number four pick ever sees a Laker uniform.
And I agree 100%. I do not believe it. They would actually make that pick because I think there's too much value in that pick, especially with what they want to do with what they're currently constituted with and needing to surround LeBron with more players and better players, especially that second guy.
Right. Yeah. And I like LeBron is you're in the business of LeBron. I hate when people say that, but that's kind of what's actually happening. And now you can't waste another year of him by helping somebody grow. I'm very much about the kids. I love the young core. I very much want to see them grow. But I mean, at this point, it's not about adding another youth piece in to go along with them. You need somebody else to go along with LeBron that's going to be there after LeBron is gone too, and works alongside with, you know, Lonzo and Kuzma and Ingram.
Yes, sir. So have you, I'm sure you've seen it. You cover Showtime for him. You're over everything that comes out with regards to the Lakers, that the Bulls are considering the seventh pick for the fourth pick and possibly Lonzo Ball. With other pieces, obviously, you know, would need to be moved. But do you think the Bulls could possibly help the Lakers in a way to facilitate a three-team trade that could get them Anthony Davis?
I mean, I don't see, there's no reason why they have any issues with dealing with the Lakers, except for if they just really, really hate Rob Pelinka, which is the story for most people. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why they're going to try and help the Lakers so much. As long if they get Lonzo out of that, maybe, but yeah, getting that seven and four pick, that would be huge going towards the for the Pelicans. I mean, you got to think about it. They'd have 1, 4, and 7 in this draft. That's a lot of assets to go along with those guys. So they can really build a team, a youthful team. I don't think that Drew Holiday would be too happy, but I think that, you know, that's they by winning the draft lottery, the Pelicans are in such a better spot for themselves that they can make a better move. And if the Bulls want to help out and get Lonzo in that, I don't like it personally because I love Lonzo. And I honestly think that he is going to be a stud moving forward. There's just not many guards in this league that do the things that he does that make the offense move like it does the way that. His basketball intelligence, his passing abilities, his defense, and going 90 feet from one side to the other side, and really, he makes the defense go. You saw how much the defense changed once he went down. So I love Lonzo, and that was one thing that Magic Johnson actually said that was right. He's like, we could debate all you want about Magic, about Lonzo Ball. I think he's gonna be great, and I agree with him in there.
Yeah, I love Lonzo. I if they have to get rid of someone from the core, I prefer it to be B.I. and Kuz, because I think Lonzo going forward with the what they want to build around LeBron really makes it go and really makes them even a much better team than they currently are right now. And then on top of that, when you get another guy next to him, if you get a Kawhi with Lonzo and LeBron, I mean, that defense is just going to be stupid.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be great. And Lonzo is one of those guys that it's a rare point guard that doesn't need the ball in his hands but still makes the offense go. And you can put any other type of guard next to him. You could put a ball-dominant guard like Kyrie Irving or Kemba Walker next to him, or Darius Garland if they do end up with that pick. Or you can put a pass-first point guard in that position. It doesn't matter. It's whoever goes in that spot, Lonzo can play alongside. He's one of those rare guards that can actually play with – really anybody, and anybody would be happy to play him. And when you're saying that whether BI or Kuz goes, I mean, if you have to make a choice, I'd rather see Kuz than BI.
Yeah. Oh yeah, without a doubt. I think, yeah, if you can somehow manage to keep BI and Lonzo and you get rid of, you know, whatever else you have to get rid of, if you keep those two guys and get Anthony Davis, I mean the possibilities are insane.
Right. Point. I mean, that's not going to work for Anthony Davis. You need at least
two. No, of course not. It's a pipe dream. It's a pipe dream.
Of course.
So I guess we got to talk about it. It's Magic Johnson came on ESPN, talked his shit, and somehow still with talking all that he talked about and burying Rob Pelinka, still managed to come out and say, well, they got two free agents or there's guys they're eyeing and all this talk about how that he wants them to be better and Lonzo and everything. So it's like he did a lot negative, but then he also went positive with it. Like, what was in the end game? What was his end game?
I have no idea what his end game was there. He was just basically trying to get his side of the story out before the Lakers got their side of the story out, which it didn't even seem like the Lakers were ever going to say anything about it anyway. So I just thought Magic Johnson looked really, really bad by coming off the way that he did, and just ripping apart. I mean, it was great television and it was fun to watch, but yeah. It just seemed kind of whiny. It seemed kind of like he was just being a little bit of a baby. I mean, the way that he came across was that, oh, people are talking badly about me at work. You work in sports, you work in anywhere that you work, people are going to talk badly about you. And if you don't, he's worried that Rob Pelinka was going after his job. I don't care who you are. Somebody's always going to be going after your job. I produce Mason in Ireland. If you don't think that there's three other board ops or guys that are just in the back that want my job, and if they had any chance, they would go after it with full force. You're crazy. Of course they would. Everybody wants every job. You know, like somebody wants to be on the air, they're going to go after whoever's on the air. It doesn't matter. So for him to be all like whiny about that and saying, oh, they were talking badly about me, then show up every day. You said you were going to show up every day. Then you didn't show up every day. Then you said you weren't going to show up anyway. It just was all this back and forth that he never really was being honest about which way he believed. I just thought Magic Johnson, and I love Magic. He was a great player and have nothing negative to say about him in that sense. But I just thought in there, he looked really bad.
I agree. He definitely didn't come off like the lovable Magic Johnson we're used to. He definitely came off a little salty, maybe a little peeved, but it just wasn't a good look.
No, not at all. And actually, Rob Pelinka, for everything, at the press conference to bring in Frank Vogel, while they should have answered more questions, he did not. He did a great job in making himself just saying, you know, this is about Frank Vogel, but answering questions. I thought there was nothing wrong with me and Magic's relationship. We talked on Saturday. Jeannie Buss thought that nothing wrong was there. I thought Rob Pelinka came off actually pretty good in that press conference, and I thought Frank Vogel, for what it's worth, sounded great.
Yeah, let's actually talk about that press conference. The Vogel came off, I think, I don't know if it was you that said, but a few guys on Twitter said he came off as the adult in the room. He literally came off as, if you wanted a better guy or a better press conference from your head coach after everything that they've gone through, you probably couldn't have scripted a better one. He came off positive. He came off exuberant. He came off just like he was talking up on LeBron, like saying, oh, that LeBron that we saw last year, you know, it's not going to be the same LeBron we get this year. Like he was literally 100% positive. And I think as a Lakers fan, that's probably what you want to see, at least right now with where we're, the situation we're in.
Yeah, no. And look, Frank Vogel, let's be clear about it first, is that you don't win championships at the press conference. Well, he said all the right things. He did a lot of the right things. And he answered every question that kind of came out. He answered the Jason Kidd question. He answered the questions about the front office. He answered the questions about LeBron and Lonzo and all the other guys. He did a great job in that sense. And I really like the things that he said about how that the communication has to be from the top down and you need to have a good, strong front office. And he just said the right things, but we can't forget that he was supposed to be the assistant coach two weeks ago. He was just supposed to be a random assistant coach that nobody said anything about. All of a sudden, he's now the head coach. He's got a very large uphill battle. And I'm rooting for him. I remember watching him when he was the head coach in Indiana. And those teams took the LeBron Miami teams to the distance, all the way to game 7, multiple times with guys like Roy Hibbert. So, I mean, I know Paul George was there too, but Roy Hibbert and Lance Stephenson and those guys, they really put it to LeBron and that Miami team. So if that's the same guy we're going to get defensively and maybe with some good offensive sets, that's great.
Yeah. I mean, all obviously Ty Lue was the coach we wanted, and you know the coach that we should have had.
Was he?
What do you think?
I didn't want Ty Lue from the beginning. Okay. I'm not saying that I wanted Frank Vogel. I was actually more of a Monty Williams guy myself. But Ty Lue. The only problem that they did there, while I didn't want Ty Lue, the not giving him 5-year deal was just insanity. The way the front office basically butchered that, and maybe he would have been the right guy, and maybe he would have been somebody that could talk back to LeBron and, you know, and do well with the young core and have a good offensive sets and everything that you need for prosperity in this league. But that wasn't the guy that I want. He wanted a 5-out offense, and I hate that offense. I just feel like with this team, at that point, you're not really trading anybody, and you don't have shooters to go along with that. Even if you bring in all the shooters for off your bench, you still have Lonzo and Ingram and LeBron, really, that can't really shoot all that well. I mean, LeBron's a good shooter, obviously, but you know we're talking about low 30s percentile for 3-point shots. So if you're having a 5-out offense and three of your starters can't shoot, that's a problem. I'm sorry. It doesn't matter if you're 5-out. So I wasn't a big fan of that one. I know a lot of people were, but I think the way that it all went down with Ty Lue was just wrong.
Yeah.
For the front office.
I agree. Yeah. To me, I felt like either Ty Lue or Monty Williams or Frank Vogel. For me, as long as you have LeBron, I mean, this is just my opinion. As long as you have LeBron, either one of those coaches would work. But I hear what you're saying with, you know, how he does his offense and how he came about with everything. So, you know, I guess as Lakers fans, we kind of just got to, you know, take what we got and I guess hope for the best.
Yeah, and that's basically where we're at right now, is hope for the best. And it's really we're in a waiting pattern. We're in the same waiting pattern that we've been in for the last 2 years. What's going to happen in the summer of June 30th in the summer of 2019? That's what we're waiting for. We've got the draft on June 20th. Do they make a trade draft day before the draft? What are they going to do? But for the most part, I mean, the Lakers are in a very interesting position right now, and there's only one way to be with it right now, unfortunately, and that's try and be as positive about it as possible. Find the good in whether they can trade for somebody, sign somebody, or draft, whatever it is. I mean, our bitching and moaning isn't really changing much because the front office is the front office at this point. I don't know if they do a lot of things wrong, and we understand that the front office is having a lot of problems and a lot of just even like how the media and how fans see them optically, it's even worse. And bringing in Jason Kidd, which I don't believe that is actually finished yet. But if that actually when that happens, I think that's a huge mistake. But those are all things that, you know, the front office are doing wrong. But we kind of are in the spot of this is what we're dealing with.
I guess we just got to hope that LeBron and Kidd's relationship is really that great and that he can manage to make it work. I mean, I guess.
Pretty much.
All right. So let's switch topics from the dumpster fire that is the Lakers, as much as I love them, to a team that's a lot more doing a lot better. Let's talk about the Dodgers. So we'll have to start with it because I know you discussed it a little bit on Blue Review a few days ago with Julio Urias and that whole situation. But he got reinstated today. Whether he should have been or not is another – or not reinstated, but back on the team. And whether he should or not, I guess we'll have to wait and see how the investigation plays out. But I want your thoughts on what you think the Dodgers should do with this situation going forward and how they should approach it.
I think, honestly, they're doing it the best way that they possibly can. I'm very, very strong when it comes to domestic violence. And if you have to put that if at the beginning of it every single time, if the video comes out and it is really bad, then he should not be a Dodger and it's time for him to go. If it is also if the video does not show really anything, then he should absolutely be back with the team. Now, if Major League Baseball has complete control over this right now, and if Major League Baseball says that there's nothing that we've found yet, we haven't seen the video, we're not going to see the video, we are reinstating him to be with the team, you have to go with it. We don't know. I can't kill a guy for something that I don't know and I haven't actually seen. And it's not even reported. The only report that we have is that there was an altercation. Somehow she ended up on the ground. We don't know that he pushed her or if he just tried to stop her from leaving, whether he put his hands on her, whether it was defensive. What we don't know anything. So you can't have him off of a team if you don't know what's actually happening. Now, if anything comes out where he is violent towards this woman, which I don't know what she is. Maybe she's a girlfriend. Maybe she's just a friend, whatever it is. If anything violent happened towards her, then he should immediately be taken off of the Dodgers. I don't care if it's less than, a punch in the face like Ray Rice, or if it's less than what happened with Bear up in San Francisco, where he pulled the phone out of his wife's hands and knocked her to the ground. I don't know what the level of the violence is. If there is violence, it needs to stop and someone needs to take and needs to be held responsible for it. So at this point, yes, he does. If there is violence, he needs to be gone. And the Dodgers need to take a hardline stance on it, in my point, because it's just too many times in every sport that we have, in football, in basketball, in baseball, in hockey. I don't care. There's so much domestic violence out there. It needs to stop and it needs to stop immediately. So if somebody needs to go down for it, then somebody needs to go down for it.
I agree 100%. Domestic violence is not okay at all. And if it comes out that he, did something and at all, like if he pushed her, anything, you just can't let that happen. You can't let that be a part of your team. You just can't.
No, and the Dodgers need to be above all of that and make a stand.
I think they need to do better. Well, I don't know what your thoughts on the Addison Russell situation is, but I think the Cubs handled that poorly.
They have very poorly. He's back on the team, and I think that's a problem. Yeah. Roberto Osuna in Houston is another problem. Talent does not equal morality, and until people understand that, we're going to be in trouble because people always see the talent more than the morality. If there was some guy like, okay, so Matt Beatty is on the Dodgers right now. If Matt Beatty did something to the exact same, they'd be like, get him out of here. It doesn't matter. He's nothing. We don't even know who he is.
Yeah,
and no one would blink an eye. But the fact that Julio Urias is good, if there is any issue, then there people say no, he's good, so keep him on. Talent does not outweigh morality ever.
No, I agree 100%. I love Julio with everything, and I think he's a stud, and he's going to be the foundation of this team for years. But if he did something at all, he cannot be on the team next year or this year and going forward.
Agreed, 100%.
So let's go to the next Dodgers subject. Sorry. Cody Bellinger, he obviously, his rookie year was insane, you know, absolutely mind-boggling. And then 2017 took a step back, and 2018 kind of fixed it a little bit. And now in 2019, he's insane. He's literally, what he did his rookie year times 15. Like, he's balling out right now. My question that I have for you is, what do you think, and I'm not saying that you can analyze his swing, but what do you think, what adjustments and changes has he made to become this full five-tool player that we knew he could be and that he is now at this current moment?
He's I don't think he's changed his swing. 2 years ago, when he was in his rookie year, he had one swing. And then last year, he tried to change it at the beginning of the year, and he was using a completely different swing, going deeper in his stance. And all of a sudden, and he wasn't hitting the ball very well because he was trying to help with that, those inside pitches. Now he's just being more patient, and he has a hitting strategist, he has a hitting analyst, he has a hitting coach, all of these, and all the guys in the Dodgers do. And that's really what makes up the Dodger hitters and why they've been so good is partly that, is that now Robert Vonskoyak, who's the hitting coach, has basically helped him figure out which pitches he does and does not want to swing at. And he's only swinging at the pitches that he likes. We had Pedro Mora on Mason Ireland today, and he put it that clearly. He said, I know this isn't the best way to put it, but he's swinging at the pitches that he knows he can hit. And that's the biggest thing. He's getting to these 3-2 counts, and he's just waiting for the right pitch, and he's changing up his swing. He will shorten his swing instead of going for those big home run swings with two strikes. He just tries to get the ball in play. And now we're on, what is May 21st when we're recording this right now? And yes, he's batting over 400. He's almost in June batting 400. That's insanity. So, I mean, it's the fact that he's just being way more patient. And there's this whole thing where they have virtual reality now in the Dodgers clubhouse. The Dodgers are just far and away much better when it comes to being prepared. And there, you don't see a lot of teams that have the amount of patience that this team does. Justin Turner last year was one of the best players in baseball with two strikes, and it's just going down the line. And now Cody Bellinger is that guy now. And he's showing the potential that he had 2 years ago, and just kind of seems like he figured it out right now.
Now, my next thing is, we're talking about Bellinger, talking about Turner. Are we worried at all about Corey Seager at all? We think are we worried about him at all?
No, I'm not worried about him. He went through multiple surgeries over the offseason, and just like Cody Bellinger is killing it in May, it's only May. So, you know, Corey Seager missed almost most of spring training. He was out. He had hip surgery. He had Tommy John surgery. He's just not fully back, and he's been much better recently. So it's starting to come back to him. Let's get to the middle of June and kind of have this conversation again, and you'll see that his numbers have basically spiked. He still has a pretty good on-base percentage. I believe it's still around 330. So he's still doing the things that you need him to do. And once he gets going and once he starts getting hot, along with Turner playing better, Muncy playing better, Bellinger still being hot, this team is going to be close to unstoppable.
I'm super excited. Is it the World Series yet? Because I just want it to be I just want it to be November. I just want to see this team win the damn thing. Like, I've never felt as confident about this. Even the 2017 team, I feel so confident in this team that they have everything. Even the bullpen, even if it's little issues, I still believe this team has so much talent that they can overcome all of it.
Oh, yeah, they're just so deep, and I'm with you. Like, I just want November to be here, end of October, just so I can watch the World Series. But they're so deep at every position. It doesn't matter. You have guys moving around in every spot. It doesn't matter if they're playing second base. You have three guys that can play second. If three guys that can play shortstop, three guys that can play right field, center field, left field. It doesn't matter. Guys can move to any position, and they play just as well. It's amazing what you're seeing from this team. And starters, the starting pitching depth is there. And if they're not in the rotation, then they get moved to the bullpen, and that makes the bullpen stronger. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
All right. So I want to get you out of here on this, and I know you probably don't like making predictions, but let's make a prediction with the Lakers. Does LeBron get his second guy? Does LeBron get his Kawhi? Does he get his AD? Does he get his second man?
Do you want this from my heart or do you want this from my head? My heart says we get Kawhi. My head says we don't, and we end up with two free agents that are not superstar free agents, like two B-level free agents, like a Vucevic and Bojan Bogdanovic types, which is not the end of the world. I mean, both those guys can shoot, and they're both decently good players, but I feel like those are the types, like a Tobias Harris and along with Vucevic, you know, it's going to be, well, it's not terrible. It's not what you're looking for. It's not one of the Ks. So my heart says we get Kawhi, which is crazy, but my head says nope.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. My head says, God, how are they going to mess this up? But my heart's like, it just makes too much sense for Kawhi not to, like, I was talking to my co-host here about why would Kawhi want to, I mean, like the Clippers, I get they run very well, but if you put Kawhi, just Kawhi on that team, are they any better than the Raptors are right now?
No, they need more. They need absolutely way more. And I wouldn't say they're even better than the Raptors right now. They would need another star to go along with Kawhi, which is possible, but I mean, still the Clippers.
But is he going to, like, my question, or not my question, but like what I keep asking myself is he going to for sure get that second star? And if not, like, you have a guy right there in LA with LeBron that you can just join and just handle the business. Like, it makes too much sense to me. But yeah, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, if he comes to the Lakers, he has that other star with LeBron where it's not going to be his team. But when LeBron steps down, then it is his team. Exactly. And you still have a chance to sign Anthony Davis next year in 2020. So there's a lot of different – whether the money works here or there or not, you'd have to make trades, whatever it is. But there's a lot of different things that can still work. The Lakers just have a better positioning for it, in my opinion. And that's my purple and gold glasses.
And see, that's what Mike keep telling me the same thing. It's like, you're just looking at your purple, you're just talking from your Laker fandom. I'm like, but it just makes so much sense. I if LeBron was on the Clippers, I'd be saying the same thing about the Clippers. Like, it makes more sense. If the second star is like, you don't have to get the second star there, is what I'm saying.
No, yeah. And Kawhi can just be the star here once LeBron leaves. So you have, along with a good young core that is going to be, once LeBron leaves, they're going to be right in their prime. So it would just work, but you know, Kawhi's got to kind of take a semi back seat to be with LeBron, which I don't know if he wants to do that.
I guess we'll have to wait and see. June 30th can't come soon enough. Greg, thank you very much, sir. I appreciate you coming on and talking with us. I hope you have a great day, and I look forward to Blue Review tonight after the Dodger game.
Tomorrow night, but yes.
Oh, tomorrow night. Yes.
Wednesday, every Wednesday, Blue Review.
Every Wednesday. Yep. That's right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man.